There's a major machlokes among the Rishonim who compiled lists of Tayag mitzvos regarding the source of the mitzvah of tshuva. I mentioned this recently a number of times. The smack derives the mitzvah from a series of psukim and parshat Nitzavim, where the Torah indicates v'shavta al Hashem Elokecha v'shamata v'kolo. Many Rishonim assume that that's a kind of prognostication. It's a promise about the future of Klal Yisrael rather than a command. But the Ramban is of the opinion that there is a source for the mitzvah of tshuva, and that is ki hamitzvah azos asher anochi mitzavuh hayom lo niflesi mincha v'lo rechokehi v'lo hashamayim v'nemar miyad olam hashamayim v'nitzachah alonu v'yashvenu osa v'nasenu. The mitzvah is not beyond, it's not me'ebel ayam, but rather b'ficha u'b'lovecha la'asoso. The mitzvah is accessible and available, and the Rambam here assumes that that's the source for the mitzvah of tshuva. Tonight I want to discuss a famous Mishnah in Maseches Yoma, well known to all of us, down there in the upper right-hand corner. It's the last Mishnah at the end of Maseches Yoma, the Mishnah on Daf. So the Mishnah writes in the underlined section, Aveiro shevidal namokom yom kippurim mechaper. Aveiro shevidal mechavero ein yom kippurim mechaper at shiratzis chavero. So a famous distinction between Aveiro between men and God for Yom Kippur serves as the vehicle for kapara, but Aveiro said between man and man, Yom Kippur is not mechaper at shiratzis chavero. The Mishnah then goes on and indicates that this is an exegesis of Rav Elazar ben Azariah. He derives from a pasuk that became, to a large extent, the very epicenter of what Yom Kippur is all about. The pasuk says, "Ki bayom hazeh yichaper alechem l'tayir esan yikol chatosechem l'bnei Hashem t'torah." There are two ways of reading the pasuk. It's one of those sukim she'en l'mechreya. So the pasuk could either be read, that this day will serve as a vehicle for kapara and taro. Any chatoim between the individual and Hashem is barach, so they will undergo kapara and taro. That's one reading of the pasuk. The Ramban and the Rabbi Yona and many other Rishonim read the pasuk differently. They read the pasuk ki vayom hazeh yichaper alechem l'tahir eschem mikol chatosechem. Pause. Before you enter to a masav where you are the fair Hashem, ti toro, already be taught. That's the marker for many. Mr. Brook calls from the Chayodon to say Tfilo Zakra, which has it at the Vidui, before the onset, before the Kinesa of the Dusha Sayom of Yom Kippur. So, Blazman Azariah, as you can see, he reads the Pasuk the first way. The Kol Chatzasechel, the fair Hashem, ti toro, that Yom Kippur is Machabir and the Chatoim, the fair Hashem, they don't know. But they not machavero, ain yom kippur machaver, actually irate is chavero, till there's going to be an act of ritzoi, till a person is going to, in effect, attempt to appease and to ask forgiveness from his friend. There's a second Mishnah, also quite well known, in Perek HaChodo. This Mishnah is on Tzadik Beis. The last Mishnah, Perek HaChodo. The first Mishnah, HaChodo, indicates someone who, God forbid, causes personal injury to his friend is obligated for five different types of payment. Nezek, Tsar, Ripo, Sheves, Boshes, those are well known. And the last Mishnah in Perek HaChevel tells you that's not sufficient. Even though monetary restitution is going to be taken care of, Avo Mishnah will not say no, Ein Nimcha lo at Sheyevaki Shemel. But that is not sufficient in order to obtain Mechila. And in order to obtain mechila for this personal injury that was caused, even though you went ahead and did monetary restitution, this is in the context of what happened with Sarai Imenu and Avimelech. There are two incidents in the Torah, one Avimelech and Paro, Melech Mitzrayim, and Hashem told him, Hashem Eish Yisraish, and let him daven for you. And then you will have, hopefully, at least a life. And the Mishnah goes on to say, sorry, if the individual does not grant you mechila, that's considered an act of machzari. Shememah by itzvah avram ha'alokim by itzvah alokim sabimela. So clearly, mechila also involves an element of mechila, an element of tefila. But here you see that even though you pay your obligations to all five categories of payment, you're not forgiven. Till he asks for pardon, and the Rai is Mami Melech, who's not pardoned, having taken Sar to his palace, till he asks Avram to pardon and to daven for him. So many already have asked this question, which I've seen a number of different approaches. Why the need for two Mishnayos? The two Mishnayos seemingly are, I would say, almost identical, lichora, at first glance. And one speaks, of course, of Ritzui, Achirasis, Faber, and that very well be the solution to the matter. The other speaks about Mechila. And the question is, what's the distinction between the two? The idea is, so they are identical, that there's a need for Ritzui, there's a need for Mechila before Yom Kippur. The Gemara has at the end of Yuma, almost an entire blot and a half. The Gemara tells one story after the next of individuals who literally put themselves in a position where the other person who caused them grief can now really ask them for mechila, and all different types of episodes and the yes, the Gemara describes there are absolutely beautiful nature. But why the need for two Mishnayos that seemingly duplicate each other, and the ideas they express are seemingly very similar to each other? So the Chafetz Yair, one of the great Dolei HaPoskim, Rav Chaim Yoreh Bachbach, he suggests a very novel interpretation. He suggests the Mishnah Bava Kamma that speaks of the obligation to ask for mechila when you have a transgression to human beings. And the Mishnah in Yuma tells you that if you don't appease the aggrieved body, then the kippah doesn't atone, even for a chatoi between human beings and Hashem is Barach. So the lack of appeasement between the perpetrator and the one wrong prevents the former from receiving kapara in both situations. And the Chafetz Yair is, as I said, attempts to explain why there's a need for both sets of Mishnayos. But I would like to share with you this evening a yisod that I heard from my Rebbe, the Chafetz Chaim, on a number of occasions. And I believe that this really is the key to understanding the two Mishnayos. Now we have the two Mishnayos, they're two Rambams. And the moment the Rambam, of course, feels constrained to quote both Mishnayos in two different settings, so that already, unquestionably, at least for the Briska approach, that certainly is the greatest indication that there are two conceptually different ideas here that are at work. So let's look at the verse of the Rambam in Dilma Shuba. The Rambam codifies the Mishnah Yuma.
Asking asking the individual, is only if he's aware of it, or even if he wasn't aware of it.
So that's a very good question, which is
something. Sometimes I had another question to follow.
Yeah, but that's a machlokes between the Chafetz Chaim and Pesach Salam, a very famous discussion. And this is not uncommon, where a person, let's use Lashon Hara as a common example, which it is. People will speak Lashon Hara about someone else, and it can cause an enormous amount of damage. Collateral damage can be sometimes catastrophic. I've been involved in such situations where people lost their businesses and the like as a result of Lashon Hara. But they are not aware of the individual who is responsible for this Lashon Hara. It might be clear to approach them, tell them, I'm the one responsible, and now it's from Chila. So the Chafetz Chaim contends that there is such an obligation to inform the person that you are the one responsible for all this damage that was caused to them, and ask for mechila. Rav Salam found it to be absolutely unconscionable. Because what happens as a result of your informing him of something that he's not aware of, you're causing him even greater tzar. And because of that, this is the shmua. I don't know if this is totally and completely founded, but this is the shmua. Because of that, he refused to give haskama. Because of this nekuda, that's what was the ikur, the impediment to giving haskama to the Chafetz Chaim said. He was asked to give haskama. He probably was the best person, certainly. At that time, one of the Gdolei Ador, I mean, I've heard so many stories out of Rav Salam. I went to day school, the shiur called Rav Salam. So it's named after Rav Salam. In the course of that 8-year period in my life, so I heard innumerable stories about Rav Salam. Fantastic stories, First story is about his godless that was beyond belief, godless and learning. He was from previous generations, no question about it. I could tell you, I could spend the rest of the shiur just regale you with stories of Rasul Salanti's greatness and learning, but clearly that was not his godless. The Sefer Or Yisrael, which you may or may not be familiar with, I'm sure you are, it's a fantastic Sefer. One of the so-called, really, I think, even though it was written a fair number of years ago, but in terms of classical Musa Svarim that are so right on in terms of how they address Or Yisrael.
That's what I interviewed you?
The one that you...
For you, that I give you...
No, that's a totally different Sefer. This is
Abyssal Salah. Is it the
hidden place? Abyssal Salah is the author of the Sefer. They actually, because we are, it's the Abyssal Plaza. But they, what they do, what they translate into so many languages, there's a gorgeous English translation. I don't have, generally, a lot of English translations, but I saw the translation here in the shul, and there was one, actually, fine evening, where I got so caught up, I missed basically the first two marriages. Luckily, there was a third Ma'ariv that appeared here on the scene somehow exactly. I don't know what the official situation of that Ma'ariv was here. I'm very into following rules. I'm very yucky-like and creating another Ma'ariv, which should become the Shtibul, is against my entire personality. But I wasn't aware. I just knew I became so engrossed in the English translation that I completely, which is very rare for me, that something could happen. So that's a sign of the unbelievable God is the same. Okay, so this is sort of partially addresses what you...
The reason I ask is because the, I think the Malkam should be the same. You're causing problems for all cars.
Okay, I hear.
So the, if that's true, then you can extend it further.
Okay. You say that this needs a Yesh Malkam Baruch was there. So the Hilma's Juba in the second paragraph, this well-known Rambam, I'll just try to read it if you don't mind. A bit on the quick side. Yeah, I'll give you an example. Someone who ate machal sasuros, or God forbid, involved in forbidden illicit relationships. Person, God forbid, in a bodily way, injured someone else. Or have a kal chavero, curse someone else. The Rambam gives a few other examples. This requires an act of ritzui, not simply providing whatever monetary institution is necessary. You have to beg from the chiva. Even if only verbally, you cause someone grief. You have to go and appease him. You have to bring three friends in order to somehow they should intercede on your behalf and convince that person that he should be in agreement to forgive you. And the Rambam goes on to say, if it's a Rebbe, hold it for a while, a Rebbe, there's no limit. Even 1,000 times, you have to ask him for forgiveness. And the Rambam in Halacha Yud says you're not supposed to be Azori, but be Nachlirzos, Pashadichos. He took the mission from Yavos and quite Dafka for this situation. And then the last halacha in Yidal, which is really what we're striking the halachas in the Rambam, it's again very well known. Achodil Chavero and Umeis Chavero Kom Shebakish Machila. Rav Rachman Lassa, and this can happen. I, by the way, have been involved in this kind of event a number of times in my life where people who wrong someone and then they ask for a minion of people to go to the kever with them, which is exactly what they did. And they asked Mechila to kever, and Chotosin Hashem Elokei Yisrael Beplomi, Kachu Kach Hasisino, and that's what the Rambam describes here. So that's the Hilchos Teshuvah. Look at the number 4, which is the Rambam Chevul Basik. Here also, once again, codifies the Mishnah, even simply above a Kav. Ein Adom and Mazik Chavero, Bekufu Lamazik Mamonu, Shemazik Mamon Chavero, once you make monetary restitution, that takes care of the problem. If you are chovel, God forbid, personal bodily injury, and again, the halacha that it should not be azori. So there are a number of questions I just want to pose in order to ultimately discuss the rather, I think, sensational and fantastic approach that Tanya Rav Soloveitchik took in order to be actually this question number 1 that we mentioned, why the Rambam find it necessary to reformulate a halakha that was chomz and mazik that he already decided in Hillel's children. It seems to be, as I said, two mishnayos. One seems to be unnecessary. Once we have the Mishnah Yuma, the Rambam built his tshuva, so why do we need the Rambam chomz and mazik? Second, the chomz and mazik, as I said, look carefully. You'll see the Rambam here uses very particular terminology of the Mishnah Bava Kama. The Rambam speaks of mechila. The Rambam in Chovah L'mazik, in Hilchos Tshuva, he's far more elaborate. And whether the Rambam is prolix or elaborate, that already should begin to raise many flags. And the Rambam goes on to explain over there. He speaks about pigus and pigia and mereyim, bringing friends into the picture. And then, of course, at the end, the Rambam talks about the fascinating halacha that I mentioned, that you have to bring 10 people to the grave and that they say aloud, Chatasi Hashem, okay, Israel. And the like, this is really incredibly elaborate kind of tshuva that the Rambam speaks about. And here the Rambam uses terminology he doesn't use in the Chayim Lomazik. Chayim Lomazik speaks about Mechila, and here the Rambam uses clearly a lot of different formulations. So why is the procedure in Hillel's tshuva more complex than the one that's found in Chayim Lomazik? Question number three. Chayim Lomazik, the Rambam implies that the injured party did not pardon the offender, even if the latter were to offer him called Eilin, the Vayu Shema'ilam, all the karbanos, all the sacrifices in the world, who would never obtain forgiveness. In Hillel's tshuva, the Rambam says, you take the offender, takes three friends with him, asks for pardon three times, and the wrong party still refuses, he's off the hook, so to speak. Why is there a distinction between these two sets of halachos? Why is it when it comes to Hillel's tshuva, there the Rambam indicates, Eilu Dvarim Sheishalim Shir. With the exception, as I mentioned before, a Rebbe. That a Rebbe, there's no limit to the obligation that a person has to ask his Rebbe for Mechila. And question number four, why only in Hillel's Tshuva, as the Rambam discussed this very fascinating din in Halacha Yidal, of seeking out 10 people and bringing them to the grave of the aggrieved party if he's deceased? Why not Hillel's Chayim al-Mazik? Why shouldn't the same din be applicable over there? Why not Hillel's Tshuva, as the Rambam feel constrained to cite this halacha? So the Marshal notes that this declaration, which is made here in item 3, Hilchos Tshuva Perek Beis, Chatasi Lashem Elokei Yisrael V'Nuflogi. Why begin by mentioning a sin against Hashem? So this is again in line with the Chavisira that I mentioned a few moments ago, that a sin against Be'elam B'Chavero not only affects your relationship with Be'elam B'Chavero, but may better will be preeminently your relationship with Hashem is brought. That's what the Chavisura is medayik in the tshuva, that every ched ben adam l'chavero is indeed a ched as well ben adam l'chavero. And again, that needs a lot more elaboration. But Rav Soloveitchik made the following suggestion in order, he said a tshuva drasha. And this entire, what I'm telling you, is a brief synopsis of a several hour tshuva drasha that he delivered on these two Rambams to distinguish between the Rambam and the Mazik and the Rambam that was true. That is a simple pshat, which is undoubtedly correct. That the Rambam quotes here, the Tshuva, the Rachayim, and this is a Cheshem Mishpat, Halacha. These are two separate dinim, and this is exactly what we're going to be discussing momentarily, but we'll just flesh it out a little bit. But otherwise, we would have took care of the problem, 1, 2, 3. The kids are Nimrus, that's the Soda Tzimtzum that he's familiar with. So I'm not so Tzimtzum, unfortunately, oriented. I've said many times, this is one of my... This generation, I'm not talking about the present company, but the generation is very into, they ask you very difficult questions that need enormous amount of elaboration and analysis. And they think, regalachas, then you're going to give them the answer. That's basically the Talmidim that I teach for the last 25, 30 years. I call it the regalach generation. Regalachas. Regalach. They just want regalach, and they think that the entire Torah can be presented to them in such a fashion. I don't come from that generation. I thought I'm not capable of doing it. I don't have the such courage. I would have to be about Memphis in order to be able to do that. And I didn't grow up in that kind of setting. I had a Bayim who essentially taught me that every issue needs very careful thought and a lot of rumination. And it could be over a period of several years that you might, with suffer, be successful in resolving the particular issue that was raised. And it's a process, and it's a process of a period of time, of many, many years. Okay, but I'm encountering a different approach, and I'm trying to, so now, to the extent that I can, try to be mechanech this door, that there is value to the other generations' approach. It's not completely to be categorically dismissed. So Rav Soloveitchik suggested, if you take a look at the Rambam, the Chayim Lomazik, number four, the Rambam uses a specific term, mechila. Now, that's a term that we're familiar with. It's a formal legal term, and generally it's used in Chazal with reference to the idea of mechila skol. We just had the Gemara not far, not long ago in Subas. I just dabble in the Daf Yomi, not like the people sitting in front of me who learn it properly. But anyway, I just dabble in it here and there. But I say Shia once a week on Friday and even in the Daf Yomi Sugyas. So I pick one Sugya. But I have to be familiar a little bit with the other Sugyas. I learned 7 Bab of Gemara Rashi just to see what's going on. Anyway, so there's a Amechish Tachon Chavir of Chazam Chol Mochel, Bafil Yerish Mechel, Pims at the time. Say Dinim Shigo, Shir Chazam Shir Agul, that's not my interest right here. But the Lashon of Mechila, again, if I sell a promissory note to my fellow man that I waived the debt is forgiven. Mechila refers to Mechila Schayv, person has an outstanding debt. It can be Mechila Mechayv, that's found many times. Also, the Gemara has in Shabbos, and we see this as well in Tanakh, that Mechila Sabonis, that we're also familiar with, that a person has a transgression and it's subject to Mechila. The Gemara has Akadosh Baruch Hu who forgave David HaMelech for that. Well-known Avera, that's the Gemara and Shabbos, I think that Lama Gemara is. So that essentially is what the Rambam is talking about here in Chayv Lamazik. But in Hilchos Tshuva, the language of the Rambam is completely different. And the language of the Mishnah, Mishnah says, Achei Ratzi Es Chaveru, and the Rambam speaks about Pius and Pigiyo and Ritzli. These are totally different terms than the term that's used by the Rambam in Chayv Lamazik, the term of Mechila. And the idea of pius, or ritzoi, unlike mechila, appeasing an injured body requires enormous amount of psychological preparation. First, you have to devise a strategy. You have to look for an opportune moment. You have to, apparently, it's a painstaking kind of endeavor. It's not one that's going to be simply carried out in one fell swoop, but rather, Chazal speak of hagosha the pius. We know that Chazal, 3 times in Tanakh, you have this idea in Vayigash, in the context of Yehuda and Yosef, before that famous encounter. You have it Eliyahu HaNavi. You have it one other time where Chazal speak of Hagosha L'Shoshadra, Yaakov Avinu as well, for his encounter with Esau. So we have himself of 3 things, Doron, Tfilah, and Muhammad, and by Yaakov, not just there, but also Yehuda and Yosef and Eliyahu HaNavi as well. So Hagosha the Pius requires an enormous amount of psychic energy, and because Pius not only involves the Mephayes, but also the Mispayes, not only the one who has to do the act of appeasing, but the individual who has to be appeased. And the Gemara in Nidah speaks about Mekabel Piusin. The Gemara talks about one who receives the appeasement. Similar to Abdil, to Gabal Sakumin, the practice of Aki Vilachim is found in the Mistachim, Yetzir Zomen, more Seder, Sassel, the Lezim Chutzars. But Pius is a deep, more profound kind of overture that's fraught with tension, with anguish. It requires a lot more achlan, a lot more preparation. And Ritzui also is not simply a mere gesture, but it's an act of, I guess in English you would say, propitiation that requires profound tefillah, has to come from the heart, has to come from a person's lave. And that's it. To take a look at the Targum Onkelos and the Ramban, I believe in Bereishis and Gimel, there you see that idea. It means basically, what is Pius designed to bring about reconciliation? You want to effect a rapprochement between the people. You want to go ahead and recreate any kind of friendship or intimacy that should be there. And therefore, Ritzvah and Pius can bring about a metamorphosis in the relationship that went awry. You can transform an enemy into a friend. And that's a much more profound kind of situation. So now, let's take a look at the 2 sets of Rambams, the 2 sets of Gemaras. The Rambam is talking about injuring someone and need to rectify the situation. So, of course, you have to compensate the person financially for whatever loss that they sustain, but you also have to attempt to use the medium of mechila as best you can. And the Rambam says you can't obtain full kapara till you pay compensation to yesa mechila. And the Rambam is talking about regarding an avera between human beings, mechila is indispensable for kapara. However, in the Hilchos Tshuva presentation, Rambam is not so much focused on injury, the need for restitution, but he's talking about tshuva. Rambam is discussing a completely different idea. What you have to rectify is the relationship between the human being and Hashem and Barach, which has been damaged by the fact that a committed chet Ben Adam Machadero. That impacts my relationship with Hashem Yisrach as well. So the Rambam says, it's true, a pro forma act of Mechila may win me Kapara atonement. However, it's not enough for Tshuva. Here we require that the guilty party seek out the injured party with words of Pius and Bitzoi, that you entreat them to once again become a friend, and you have to bring a group of friends if necessary. And this is a very cathartic kind of act of reason and Pius. And of course, we're talking about even a verbal assault and the like. So again, it's clear, Lich Ora, said the Rav Zatzal, that there are two different concepts, Svei Dinim Shonim Lugamer, completely different one from the other, that the Rav chose to include it to two different headings. One of the categories of a wise set of Fresh Mishpat, of torts and damages, the other is part of the Tshuva. One is a kind of legal procedure necessary for atonement, and the other is a profound emotional process of personal reconstruction of one's character and transforming a foe into a friend. That's what the Rambam is speaking about in Hilchos Tshuva. Now, it's very fascinating. I mentioned to you before, and I have it a little bit over here, on item number 5, the Gemara Pei Zayin, the Gemara Mamash at the end of Masechus Yoma, where the Gemara has a number of anecdotes about Ritzvi and Pius that took place on Erev Yom Kippur. What's interesting, that when he asked someone, if someone, God forbid, causes someone grief, whether it's the case of Cholu Chaver or any other kind of assault that took place. So when the person asks for Mechila, what, do you have to wait to Erev Yom Kippur? Of course not. You should ask for Mechila on the spot. You should ask the individual for pardon, that you are sorry that you caused him this kind of grief, this kind of grievance. And it's not limited in terms of time. Whenever the grievance occurred, that's when the Mechila should take place. However, there's a very fascinating halacha, which you can see actually here on page number 2, on the next side of the page, where there's a fascinating thing in 6. Tof Reish Lov, the whole sin of Shavuot. Sheyifai, son of Chaver, fascinating thing. This place takes place Dafka when? Dafka Erev Yom Kippur. It seems to have particular relevance. Dafka to Erev Yom Kippur. Of course, the question is why? Why should it be different than the din of Mechila? And why does the obligation of Pius Dafka come to focus on Erev Yom Kippur? So the Rambam mentions over there, I underlined it in Halacha Beis, Mechila, Erev Yom Kippur. But Mechila is essentially a din that has relevance, Kol Hashem Kula, not Dafka on Erev Yom Kippur, while Dafka Pius seems to be more relevant to Erev Yom Kippur. Look again on page number 1, item number 7, the Rosh in Maseches Yoma, has a very beautiful description, lower right hand corner, Yasim Adam Adibo Erev Yom Kippurim, the Fais Kolotim Shenot Olam Eva. Anyone who harbors any kind of grudge, enmity, Kiraminon Gabiram, Dabalil Abchanin, Milsa Bade, also Gabe, Trace of Adam Kippurim, the Fais, Yaminon Ami Asim Rab, Abalil Milsa Bade, Abutamko. And the Gemara said, not like Trace of Yahi Shato, La Asa, the Mazvali of Kippurim, means where the individual who was the party that was aggrieved appeared before the individual who caused the grief in order that she asked him for Mechila and Dr. Erev Yom Kippur. And that's an effort that a president should make, said the Rosh. He quotes it Pirkei Avolazah. This is a famous Pirkei Avolazah. I cited it actually on Shabbos in the Shabbos Shuvah Drasha. The Ramban quotes it in Chumash. The Ramban quotes it in Emor that on Yom Kippur, we should make every effort before Yom Kippur to appease every person that we possibly can. And Shmuel, that's what Shmuel said. He saw that Klal Yisrael were free of sin and Yom Kippurim. He said, Hashem is Baruch, there's one nation that's likened to Malachi Asharis. See my show in the name of the soul of Yom Kippurim came. Klal Yisrael also in Yom Kippur have this quality of see my show. Angels live in peace and harmony. Jewish people also live in peace and harmony in Yom Kippurim. So
the person wants to save time on Erev Yom Kippur, not that it should be super, super busy and make certain phone calls a day or two before that. Sounds like from the chorus. No, it doesn't work. You should they deal with should be done say,
no, of course you can make the phone call before that, no question about it. But there is an Indian Godlaw, that's what I'm gonna discuss in a moment, why Dafka, the Shabbat quote, it's a din of Pius Dafka and Erev Yom Kippur. And the answer to that Kasha, the Kasha you're asking, the reason you're asking the Kasha is because there are Tzvei Dinim Kapara, let's put it this way. There's a Kapara Siyochi and a Kapara Satsibur. So I agree with you that as far as the Kapara Siyochi is concerned, there's no question that can be done beforehand. As you said, there's maybe a pilot. So I'm not able to do it all
If a person has a lot of relatives, they're more adapted to COVID relatives.
We have everything. No, but have everything. There's also a din and a kippah that was driving the kapara satzibur. That's a bit driving the kapara satzibur. We want the entire tzibur, the nisach lechala, that's what they sell. We say, and the kippah night, the cholam, kilcholam yishgog, means only kapara satzibur can only happen if each one of us is willing, in effect, as I said, not just to go to the individual who I may have agreed and ask him for forgiveness. But in fact, we have to somehow try to create an after symbolic cell in Erev Yom Kippur. So I think the Mechaber quotes it within of Shevai Sodom Mechaber of Erev Yom Kippurim. We want to, in effect, take all of the different strands of body cell and discuss this in a moment. So let you have what to say about this as well, a number of different occasions. If you are familiar with the, undoubtedly you are, since you are someone who dives so beautifully and call of Shavuot Kula. So on number 9, this is after the Avodah of Yom Kippur, one of the most famous piyutim. By that time, most of us are probably drained of energy, enervated, but we don't even notice it. Number 9, Avol Avonos Avoseinu Rechivu Nove, Chatzaseinu Harichu Kitzo, Zichron Baram Teisich Oseinu, V'inu Nafshenu Tekach Oseinu, Alkei Brachamech Arab Nasatlan Oseinu Kippur Mazeh, Yom Achila Sa'avon Azel, Asir Asa'avon Kapar Spesha. Yom Asa Vachila, Yom Asa Vashir, Yom Asa Vachisa, Yom Asa Vesicha, Yom Asa Tashamita, Yom Asa Vesasano, and then we have the following one. Yom Simas Avo Bereus, Yom Azivas Kino Vetachus. What a statement. Yom Kippur is a day of implanting Avo Bereus, friendship and amity, fellowship and fraternity. Yom Azivas Kino Vetachus, a day we should completely abandoned, jealousy, competition, and the like. This ambience is clearly a function of peace and mitzvah of every Yom Kippur, and this is in order to achieve kaparas ha-tzibur. And that's what I would suggest, and that's what the Aras Oesha would suggest it. That's the dinshe, Bais al-Khabero, very Yom Kippur. It's very interesting. I pointed out yesterday also in the Tshuva of Russia at one point in the Rambam, and the Rambam also in Mishnayis, the Rambam speaks of Tzom Kippur. I'm in the Mishnah Yuma, in the 8th parak, speaks of Tzom Kippur. We also got another Ram yesterday. The Klei Migdash also speaks of Tzom Kippur. What's the nature of that term? I don't know. No one says Piyutim anymore. So Yom Kippur also has several appellations. It's called Yom Kippurim, Shabbat Shabboso, Tzom Kippur. And there are actually one or two others that are used by the Baitonim. I'm sorry?
Kodesh.
Correct. But there are a number of appellations, nomenclature, used by the Paitonim to describe Yom Kippur. So what is the term Tzom? That's all that she thought. The term Tzom relates to the Apostle Shir Hashir, which you also were all familiar with. And I think in the 4th parak, Inach Yofo, Ayasi, Inach Yofo, Inach Yofo, Mibad, Mitzama Osech. So the word Mitzama in Hebrew, Mitzama Menei, also Gemara Shabbos deals with one of the Lama Tess Malachas, where the person takes strands of hair, place them together, B-L-A-R-T-S, raise them together. Great raise is a shadow of Bomet on Shabbos. One of the Malachas, that's Malachas. So there, when you take these individual strands of hair, gather them together, so then the result is a braid. The Briars of Christus, a famous Gemara, the Gemara said, Nabo, and Paul Tiny Shema, and Koshi, you sell in a Titus. That's what we say in a given night, on the material, the Spala, in my Bargum. That normally we don't try to associated with Toshe Yisrael are people who are Mardoni, people who are rebellious in nature. The Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara speaks about Toshe Yisrael the Gufan, Kakapla Munafil, where it says one time, that's the Mokar for Chabad, but they try to put out film and individuals even on a one time basis. That brief, who says that one time a person is going to put out film, he's no longer called Toshe Yisrael the Gufan. But the term Toshe, the Gemara Yumas Machlek is regarding the Seder Avraham, our practice, Mahom Zamele Chacham, we say Chatosia, we say Pashaiji, others have a different Seder. Chet is Shogeg, and Avon is Bezin, Pesha is Merin. So that's the order that we generally use, the Mahom Zamele Chacham, regarding that matter. But this notion that on Yom Kippur night, we're going to hold court together with all of God Yisrael, including the Avayonim, including the Pashim, people who are Poshea, that's what the Gemara says, Kol Tani She'in Bani Pashim Yisrael, in a Tainis. It doesn't include the Koshe Yisrael, the tiny is not considered to be Chal. We have to join together in the Yom Kippur, in love and friendship, and only it would take part, not just in Mechila, but we take part in this element of pius and mitzvah as well. So this dafka, the greatest kavaras atzibur, certainly this is what the mechaber says here. Sheifaisal mechaber of dafka be'er yom kippur. We want to integrate all the various strands of Klal Yisrael to achieve kavaras atzibur. So we see from this presentation there are really two different concepts. One concept is the concept of mechiba, cheshavishba concept. The Chayyim Lamazim, the Rambam has it, the Mishnah has it, Perek HaChomel. And the second is far more profound, far more elaborate, far more significant, far more momentous, far more important in terms of how we should attempt with all of our efforts to bring about peace and Ritza, not only between Benav and Chavero, but all members of Klal Yisrael. And that takes place after before Yom Kippur, and these are two dolly concepts. Now, if you look at the Abinyan of Shavu Tshuva, I actually have a practice of learning Shavu Tshuva every Chodesh Elul. I have a problem. I've yet to finish Shavu Tshuva. I've been doing it for decades. But what I do is I continue where I left off last year, as opposed to what I should do, learn the whole Sefer Shavu Tshuva. But everything I learned begins with Gogol. And I see so much lumpness in the Shavu Tshuva. That it's amazing to me, that sefer. So one of the beautiful pieces of Shara Tshuva, which he has a number of times right here in Memphis, item 10. Always follow Shara Tshuva Hashem. Limchos ka'opsho v'ch'on v'chateso. V'sheyach kotzvo v'yutseyo v'yayosela. We want to once again bring Hashem back to us in terms of friendship and ritzuli. V'in she'dose v'kotzvo v'elihu al-bal ha'tshuva ha'ra yisurim. The term by yutseyo. That's all we want to do. We want to recreate the friendship that existed formerly. And the Amr Abaseinu, Enlana Laharas Manechom, Uinyan Harvatso. And then he says, including the Psukim in the Dabra Abelach and Nunal, there are two Prokim and Taylor that are Pirkei Tshuva, very well known. And one is Nadal of Hashibulis, his son Bushecho. So this is essentially what we're trying to do. And all this is summed up very beautifully in item 11, which is also Gemara Numa, on top of the page, that the Gemara said, You try to appease someone, it can sometimes be a very lengthy process. And if you succeed in being mispayes, so then subject again the dvarim, not the dvarim, not the dvarim, all the moment I've ever say sir, mispayes and then the dvarim. Shanema, kahu imach the dvarim, Meshuva Hashem, that's the Torah that we just read, Moshav Meshuva, v'lo'odel shemachzul v'tegu, shanema v'kachtei. So this is the, essentially the approach that we have to try our best to take during this period of time, right before Yom Kippur, before Bayer, Bayberku, Yom Echad, Yom Oyom Benoira, that day, which of course is the opportunity, the golden opportunity for all of us to once again come back into the good graces of Hashem Yisbarach, once again achieve Rasa Hashem, but primarily utilizing Pius for Ritzu as the vehicles for connecting and reconnecting as best we can. I remember Rasal Vichik, Rasal said that every Kippur, he got, it's Rabbi Freiberg mentioned this a month ago, hundreds of phone calls of people who asked that for Mechila. And he, Kedargo, Makhidish, never asked them what exactly is the issue that's on the docket here that requires my giving Mechil Miyad, he granted them Mechil Miyad without even batting an eyelash. And sometimes the issues were quite severe, from what I understand, and quite significant. But the main issue that the Asalechik people didn't agree with is Ashkofis, and people felt that he was a complicated fellow, which he was. And people felt that he had positions that were not, from their perspective, well-grounded, well-founded. I mean, most of what he did was based on Masira, which went back to the Goyim of Vilna, to Chaim Elozha, Shrocha. He was very into Masira, unquestionably, probably more than any other Gadol that I know. Really incredible foundation of Masira. But with all those people had what to say, and they may have spoken about him, not in such a positive kind of way. He was someone who did not take anything personally whatsoever. I was in the spell. One of the qualities I think he had that I saw very clearly was this unbelievable quality of not taking anything in a personal kind of way. I'll just end by mentioning one of the stories that I've written down that hopefully I'm going to publish in Yitz Hashem. about the Rav. I saw this at a Tshuva Rosh. One of the many Tshuva Roshes I went to, there were thousands of people who come to those Roshes in Yiddish. And I took an older Rav. Older Rav, whose name was Avashe Agoyne, Avashe Schneider, inside the Rav. I used to drive him a number of times. He was Charusa of Rav Chaim Shulevitz, his father, in Stutchin. Alter Shulevitz. He was not a youngster when I drove him. I was a youngster. But he was an older man. He was a man in his 80s. And once he came to the Rav Soleil Shishir, and then he was very, we used to come at 1 o'clock. Baruch. Why? He wanted to make sure we had a front seat. I was sitting with him from 1 o'clock to 8 o'clock. It was very good. First, we had to make sure we had mincha. And then after that, I got him something to drink usually. He didn't drink much, he didn't eat much. And then we were waiting there for 6 to 7 hours. And I had to sit there basically with him. And that the day was the bagger for me. I canceled all my whatever involvements I had. Anyway, and once year I took him, he was very, very unhappy with the sheep. It's an understatement of the year. And so every 15 minutes or so, he got up and started screaming at the dog about the questions he's asking, about the approach he's taking, that is completely off. He had no difficulty telling us how Ritchik is a small, diminutive little man, but a giant, a guy, no question about it. And then after about 45 minutes, he tells me, Yechob Ga'ad Binug. Enough.
There you go.
He told me, Daiva, again, Dahin. I'm going home. So there are 2,000 people there. So I wasn't going anywhere. So first I thought I would ignore him, but he wasn't someone so easily ignored. And Gadol to boot. And so I just forgot to bring my paper bag with me to put it over my head. I'm a criminal. I was literally walking out. And that's what happened. I had to leave. And that was the end of that shiur. So next year, he called me up in the castle also and said he wants to come to shiur. I told him I'm not taking him. After that event, my memory is pretty good. And I simply could take him. I'll have to find someone else. And he did not take no for an answer. Of course, I ended up taking him. And this time, it was a totally different experience. He loved the shiur. And every time, a few moments, Rav Avshabed, is all good. Good is all. He gave him haskamas, And the Rav planned to do who he was. He said, sit down, be calm, know everything is fine, etc. After the shiur is over, he tells me, we're going up there a few steps there. This auditorium that she was given, and we get he goes up to Shabir, Adem Gekush, he kissed him. He kissed Abya Shabir. He says, a wunderbar shir that he gave absolutely once. Okay, good. That was Baruch Hashem. Maybe he kept holding on to my head to be alive. He was always worried about losing his drive. That would have been disastrous. Anyway, so we started walking out, and we walked out, the auditorium. We walked out of the auditorium, there, left one. Lampot, yeah, we walked out of Lampot Auditorium, and then we're coming outside the doors and in the back. There's someone speaking to, I'll just put it in a very nice way now, to a friend of his. A gentleman speaking to a friend of his.
Oh, you wrote this out?
Of course I wrote it up. Yeah, I'm very sure. Speaking to a friend of his, and he tells this friend that, did you hear what JB said? Is that what? So he told the friend. So our Schneider is perk up. And he says to the guy, wasn't in himself, Yiddish. The guy obviously knew Yiddish, he came from Shia. What did you say? So I said, I'm talking to my friend. I asked my friend, did you hear what JB said? So he says, yeah, go off the goal, I thought JB. This guy was a tall guy, twice his size. He jumped up and smacked him across both faces. So I saw myself. I said, oh boy. And there was, the place was pretty crowded, pretty jammed. Outside, milling about there after the Shia. And I thought the guy was going to basically pulverizing. He was so angry, and I thought justifiably, why did he deserve this? Kind of, it wasn't just a fresh, it was considerably more. I mean, all of his, he did it. And then he said to him, moments later,
how old was he?
In his 80s.
The
guy was in his 30s, so maybe late 20s. Then after the tape is off, I'll tell you with whom the story happened. Anyway, so he tells this fellow, you're coming with me in Yiddish, and to ask Mechila for the Golan. In Kessel also, to call Shabbat JB. I was told by a number of Prime Rosh Yeshiva, it's not necessarily considered to be such an outlaw. I mean, I only know JB, there's a whiskey called JB. That's about all I know. But I don't think, I'm actually, I didn't think it was a positive, complimentary kind of term. Yashua Bear.
Didn't think that there was something wrong with it?
I? Of course I did. But not to the point where you...
Never used as a respectful...
And I also didn't think so. Okay, someone was there with two Rosh Yeshiva. Told me, no, maybe it's not the end of the world. Okay, maybe they said Rosh Yeshiva, it was unique, okay. I don't know. But anyway, so he didn't want to go. He says he's going to the meal. The whole crowd up there was observing this. And they told him that this older rabbi, that people didn't really know who he was, but the rabbi asked you to do something, you go with him. So we proceeded to go back into the auditorium, followed by a whole crowd. I remember the most is like it was impossible to get back in. People were coming out, there were two aisles over there, if you remember, maybe three, I don't recall anymore. And it was impossible to, it was a half hour to get to the front. Mamish, I'm not exaggerating. Finally, come to the front, Sir Salmesi sees Avesha Schneider appearing and says, Avesha, Masa Gishain, Masa Gishain. So he says, El, this guy wants to tell you something. Avesha, Masa, leave him alone, etc., etc. The guy asked Rav Salmesi for B'chila. So I saw, I read this with my own eyes. And then Rav Schneider kissed this guy for asking him, for asking Rav B'chila. And he told me, you're headed straight for Ganim. And so he told me, you're Mubazal Gol Ador, and now you are Mekadosh and Shammai by asking for Mechila for Gol Ador. So I was a very young man. I was a man in my late teens. Late teens. So I said to myself, I don't get something here. Last year, I had to go out. I needed a paper bag on my head for the embarrassment of the whole place watching me. And he walked out with the Schultz, this song, because he was so upset with the Shia. And said, the whole car ride the way back, he was telling me how the Rav was wrong in every aspect of what he said. And now this, I couldn't reconcile, came from the Siyasha Shnei Parashot, but this to me left a massive impression on me. Adayom Hazeh, this is decades later, I remember fondly, come on, I tell you, that this ungodly, you can disagree with an ungodly as far as learning is concerned. But well, he recognized who Rabbi Shugai was and exactly the Gol Ador, whom the Gol Ador is, and he had to treat him accordingly. Anyway, Pius Ravitzoy, I would say that was Rabbi Soloveitchik's second name, third name, fourth name, fifth name. That's all he was about, Pius Ravitzoy. Alabai Lolo Shubi Sasha, there's Pius Ravitzoy, and we should enter Yom Kippur in the state of Tyron, and we should be Sasha, but they are Shem Tetelah.